I know it is a weird morning. All right, that's much better. I don't have to yell. Good morning, everybody. What a day, huh? We have several of our congregation out sick. As you know, Pastor Mike would normally be up here doing the announcements today, but he is ill. I think he drank a little bit too much water at Kalahari. As did the kids, too. First it was just Jude, then it was Jude and Lucy, then Jude, Lucy, Mike. And lovely Christine, Pastor Christine came in today, even though she texted everybody and said, I'm not coming in. And then we have John out, he's sick, and then we have Keith out, and he's sick, and then Christine says, I'm going to come in, but nobody talked to me. So she isolated herself during this, and thank you, Christine. I don't know, we were going to go all acoustic and sing Kumbaya three times and be done. So, do we have any first-time guests here? If so, you're in for something, let me tell you. First-time guest, if you are a first-time guest, you know, there's a sign-up card in the seat back in front of you. Take that, fill that out, take it back to the welcome desk, which is back here as soon as you come in, and we give away a Chick-fil-A card so you can have lunch on us. It's just, you know, we're not bribing you to be here. We're just saying, thanks for coming. When somebody comes and does something for you, say thank you, and that's what we're doing, so... Obviously, you can get lunch tomorrow since they're closed today. Upcoming at Crosspoint this week, we have Journey Night this Wednesday. Small groups start at 7. How many of you guys have a small group that you go to regularly? I can't even raise my hand regularly because I've been absent a lot. But I try to anyway. Some great breakout groups, small groups. It's a great way to meet people outside of Sunday morning service. Spend some time with them. Get to know them a little bit better. Amen? Next week, Sunday, February 22nd, we have a special guest speaker. It's Ken and Jane Savacco from RA Church in Rogers. RA stands for Rogers Assembly. So they're the ones, as we know, that they had a seed offering that we gave. We all said, let's do this, and we didn't know where we were doing it. The Lord led Pastor Brad to Rogers Assembly, and man, what a blessing. It has been for them. They were able to get their youth ministry up and running, and I'm sure, I don't want to spoil his thunder, but I'm sure we're going to hear some of that. He's also going to give us a word, not just an update on the church, but a word. And if you've ever heard him speak, he's fantastic. So please join us next Sunday. All right, then. Synergy is coming up. It is less than a month away. How many people have been to Synergy? How many people know what Synergy is? Okay. So Synergy, guys, is it's at the Nazareth Church in Grove City. It's a one-day leadership training. I've been down there many times. It's fantastic. They have some great praise and worship at the beginning, and then you go into your breakout sessions, and what's your focus? My focus is the Welcome Center. So they have Welcome Center, how to greet people better. They have wonderful music leaders down there, and you go on to breakout sessions with them, how to be a better church leader or just a church person in general, foster care and missions, men's and women's ministries, security, discipleship, anything that has to do with the church and how it runs, we're giving leadership meetings on those. So if you plan on going, I guess just show up. I don't know that we have a sign up. It doesn't say, oh, please register by March 1st. I knew I'd get to it eventually. So March 1st, okay? About a month away right now. The men's conference, men. April 17th and 18th, it's down at the Heartland Conference and Retreat Center. So please be there for us. Great time apart. We get to hang out together for a couple of days and leave the worries of the home life behind. Okay? Next, I hope you have a picture of this. Do you got a picture of this, Craig? Nope. That's not what I had next. But that's okay. We'll start here. Pastoral sabbatical. You guys know Pastor Brad and Nicole are out on sabbatical, getting refreshed, getting ready to come back and hit this church with God's will on Resurrection Sunday. Amen? I was going to call it Easter, but I like Resurrection Sunday better. And I'm so excited. I can't wait to hear what they have for us. Okay, because it's not going to be from them. It's going to be from the Lord through them to us. Amen? But we got to prepare ourselves also to get ready. Yeah, I got that one too. to get ready to receive what they're going to have for us, right? So I suggest if you aren't already, pray for them. If you are praying, continue to pray. You know, take special time out of your prayer to say, I'm saving this time for them right now, Lord, and redeem their time away so they can come back and hit us hard. Amen? I'm going to skip this one for a second. You can leave it up there, though, buddy. I just want to say that this week, or at least we're celebrating it this week, Matt and Heidi Terry's adoption was completed. Amen? Craig, do you got a picture of that, buddy? No? Okay, he's shaking his head. No. Well, you had a picture. I saw it this morning. It was fantastic. Congratulations, you guys. I think that's awesome. Great testimony of God's work right there. Amen? All right. And now we're going to deliver a meal. It's the meal train, as we like to call it. This week in this church alone, there's 4 major surgeries this week. So if you can, please sign up to deliver a meal to them. Okay? This isn't I got my finger stitched up surgery. These are major surgeries, and they're going to need some help. And so there's going to be a sign-up sheet, or it's on the app at the Resource Center, okay? So please sign up if you can help them with a meal, okay? For this week, they're going to need more than just one meal, so I don't just need 4 people. Whoever, God lays it on your heart to do that. How's that? All right? Amen. I know Ron and I just went through a time of grieving, and our friends brought us meals, and it made a huge difference in our lives, okay? So thank you. All right. Hey! Here's the picture. Congratulations. That's fantastic. Give them a round of applause, guys. That's great. Thanks, Craig. So that's the announcements. We're done with those. Okay. Oh, yeah, check your church bulletin, guys. Also, because I didn't mention this because it wasn't on my list, but giving stations. The giving stations in the back, giving stations out front, giving stations online. You guys, if you want to give to the Lord and to the church, you know how to do that, right? Amen? Yeah. All right. Now, Craig, stop the delay, buddy. If you didn't know, Craig and I are friends. So, well, this is the name of my title of my sermon today. He calls me Fred. And it was so dumb that Alyssa didn't even put it up there in a slide. She thought I was kidding. But I'm not. That's the name of the sermon today. And this is a tribute to Pastor Bob Graber. Because many, many years ago, we were in the choir. And we're about right here, standing on, sitting in our seats here, getting ready to sing this song. And the song was, I Am a Friend of God. How many people have heard that song? Yeah, that's way back in the early 80s, wasn't it? Fantastic song. But we're singing this, and I had the pleasure of standing next to Pastor Graber. And, I am a friend of God. He calls me friend, is what the song says. And Pastor Graber looks square at me and says, he calls me Fred. And I'm trying not to laugh as, Sharon is leading us through this song, and I'm trying not to laugh, but he had me from there. So every time I think of friend, all I think of is he calls me Fred, and I think of my friend, Pastor Bob Graber. So that's why it's called that. So as you might guess, today I'm going to talk about friends. Not specifically my friends, but just friends in general. Okay? I'm going to talk on things like my mouse not working? No. I'm going to touch on things like, is friendship important? Well, pretty much everybody knows it is. I'll show you some examples of friendship in the Bible. And I hope you leave here today challenged to seek out new friends and be a better friend to your current friends. Okay? So what is a friend? If you ask 10 people, you're going to get 10 different opinions. It's hard to define what a friend is. And there's different levels of friendship. Webster says it this way. A friend is a person whom one knows and with whom one has a bond of mutual affection. So Webster said whom. I would have said who, but Webster's is probably more correct than I am. I know them, and I have a bond of mutual affection. Okay? So that's a two-way friendship. Or it can be a polite form of address to an acquaintance or even a stranger you come across, such as, my friends, let me introduce myself. If I don't know you, that would be a great way to start the conversation, wouldn't it? And then there's social media, where you have 500 friends because they like your post, and you really don't even know more than one or two of them. So another level of friendship. And then you have, you know, a friend, a buddy, a pal, amigo, brother. The list goes on and on describing friends and the different levels. LG, what's the French word for friend? Ami. Thank you. There you go. I was joking with her earlier. Never mind. I won't even say it. But I owed her that because she's my friend. So I like to think of a friend as somebody who is not my enemy. If you're my enemy, I know I still have to love you. But a friend is a little bit different, right? Although they say that the enemy of my enemy is my friend. That's an ancient proverb, goes back to the 4th century BC, and it's so old it was originally written in Sanskrit. So for those of you who, you know, that's spinning around your head, do you guys know what that means? Okay. What's that? Okay, they're still in school, they're still learning it. Basically, if somebody's my enemy, and they also have that enemy, I can pair up. Works great in wartime. They have used it in wartime. Winston Churchill used that quote. It's a way to enter in. And even though I'm not friends with them, I am now. Okay? Those are usually temporary, guys. Because once the foe is broken, now you still don't have anything in common. So there's a lot of different ideas about friendship in the world. Let's see what the Bible has to say about friendship. Amen? So, friendship is God's idea. We were not created to live life alone. Genesis 2:18 says, "The Lord God said, 'It is not good that man should be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him.'" For those of us who are married, I hope that our spouse is our best friend. If they're not, see Pastor Mike for counseling. But being alone is terrible. In 1968, the band Three Dog Night put out a song, and it says, "One is the loneliest number that you'll ever do." I won't sing the rest of it. I usually put in a song reference for those of you who don't know. There's a song reference in every one of my sermons. I got it out of the way quickly here. So one is the loneliest number that you ever do. The song gets worse after that. But so I was looking up some information about solitary confinement. And because they're alone. I can't imagine how terrible that has to be. But here's the information that I found. International experts have identified solitary confinement as psychological torture. In 1993, Haney's did a study of 100 randomly selected prisoners in one of California's supermax prisons, Pelican Bay. And they reported a very high prevalence of symptoms of psychological trauma, with 91% of the prisoners sampled suffering from anxiety and nervousness, more than 80% suffering from headaches and being lethargic and trouble sleeping, and 70% fearing impending breakdown, all from being alone. More than half of the prisoners suffered from nightmares and dizziness and heart palpitations and other mental health problems caused by isolation. They also experienced irrational anger and confused thought processes. Chronic depression, 77% chronic depression. 41% had hallucinations. And overall bodily deterioration just from being alone. God made us. He knows what we need. We need people in our lives. That's why he gave us a helper. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12 says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. Anybody ever try to build a house on their own? I'm not even, I can't do anything on my own. I need helpers in my life. And if two are good, four is even better, as long as they're of the same mindset. So God's not just saying have one friend. He's saying have more. We need friends to get through our lives and to do it more productively. See, God is social. He created us in his own image, did he not? So if we have the need to be social, God is social. God wants to see us, wants to reach out to us, so much so that he sent his son down to be with us. We need to be social. God made us that way. See, people think friendship is a bonus. You know, being friends is a bonus. No, it's not a bonus. It's part of God's design for humans to flourish. You want to be better at whatever you do, have friends. Because they're the ones that are going to help you through. So what is biblical friendship? It's marked by love, loyalty, and honesty. That's biblical reference on friendship. Love, loyalty, and honesty. So let's start at love. Love and commitment. Proverbs, I'm giving Craig clues here because we don't work together very often, and he told me he was going to mess me up on purpose. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. A friend loves at all times. Now, I mentioned the term brother as part of another term for friend, did I not? So I would read that as a friend loves at all time, a friend is born for a time of adversity. If you are having adversity in your life, doing that on your own, mind-blowing. You can't do it. You need a friend, especially in that time of adversity. So that's not the only example. He also gives us an example. I like the book of Ruth, and Ruth 1, 16 and 17. This is Ruth's covenant of loyalty to Naomi. It says, but Ruth replied, don't urge me to leave you or turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God my God. That's loyalty. That's what you want out of a friend. Where I go, I want them to come. Where they go, I want to go with them. Now, if that friend is, you know, doesn't have the same God as me, I'm going to convert them, but I'm not going to follow their God. But you get the drift, right? You want that closeness, that commitment that Ruth shows Naomi. And that's her mother-in-law. So those of you guys with mother-in-law problems out there, read Ruth. It'll set you straight. The second thing that the Bible says is honesty and truth. This is how you should be when you're a friend. Proverbs 27, 5 and 6 says, yeah, that's not what I have. That's okay. I'm going to read what I want then. Oh, no, that's right. That's good. Better is, oh, I have it written in English, not NIV. Better is open rebuke than hidden love. In other words, faithful are the wounds of a friend. You are not a friend if all you are is a yes man. Do you want a friend to just say, oh, yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, let's go. Whatever you're thinking, I'm good with. Now, if you have a long-term friends, most of the time that is true. Because you know you've been friends for a long time. You start to think alike, stuff like that. Rod and I finish each other's sandwiches, exactly. Because we've been friends for so long, we start to think alike and act alike. And we're on the same groove of thoughts. But if I have a friend and they say, hey, I'm thinking about doing this, and I know it's a bad idea, it's not my job to say, yes, I think you should. Quite the opposite. It's my job to say, I'm sorry, man, that is not smart, and you should not do that. If they're in the right mindset of being your friend, they're going to accept that, and they're going to accept it well. Now, you don't have to, you can say it nice. You don't have to be mean about it, but you have to say it. Ephesians 4:15 says, is about speaking the truth in love. We will grow to become in every aspect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ Jesus. This chapter in Ephesians is talking about the unity and maturity in the body of Christ. Speaking truth in love. Okay? So when you are rebuking your friend, telling him it's a bad idea, you're doing it in love and not out of spite or meanness. And you've got to project that when you're talking to somebody, because otherwise you're just being mean. I think, why not? I think that's what happened, or how a lot of people accepted the words and the rebukes of Charlie Kirk. He tried to say it in love, but they thought of it as just out of hate. You've got to make sure you're speaking in love. Because you can speak the truth, but it's got to be backed up biblically. And it's got to be said in love, okay? Now, one of the things I think of is with Charlie Kirk is he didn't know these people. They were his friends. They showed up, but he didn't know them. He didn't have that close relationship with them, and that's probably why they didn't know his true heart. With you and your friends who you know and you're closest to, when you speak it in love, they're going to know it comes in love. Amen? All right. Yeah, I wasn't even going to say that, but. Yeah, why not? So the third thing is faithfulness. Proverbs 20, verse 6 says, a faithful friend is rare and valuable. This one says, many claim to have unfailing love, but a faithful person, who can find? Wow, that's harsh right there. I like it, but. And you probably notice I use a lot of Proverbs references so far today, and usually every time I speak. And I just love the book of Proverbs because, you know, Psalms is great, and it's all praise and praise and praise, but Proverbs, man, just cuts right to the quick. And I'm not a true engineer, but I got an engineering mind. I like how things connect. I want to hear straight. I don't want to take the long way around to get to the answer. Just cut to the quick. A faithful friend is rare and valuable. I just get Proverbs. I hope you do too. This is saying if you want to be a true friend, you need to be there for everything. Not physically be there, obviously, but whatever your friend brings you that they are concerned with, you need to engage them. Big or small. You see, a small thing to us may be huge for them. And if we just say, it's a small thing, you know, don't worry about it, buddy. It's going to be fine, whatever. And really not give them the time that they need help with this pivot point in their lives. Then they're going to think, do you really care? And, he only cares about the big things. No, I want to be there for the small things because my Heavenly Father is there for the small things. And in my life, you know, there's a lot going on in here. Well, not a lot of smart things, but there's a lot going on in this mind. And it's going in 10 different directions. And one little pivot point can change my whole life. One friendship, one word from a friend, one rebuke from a friend. And even though it may be small for them, it could change the balance of the way my entire life goes. You have that power in people's lives. It's a huge responsibility. So make the most out of them. Luke 16:10 says, faithfulness in small things. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. It's the little things, guys. Show your faithfulness from the start, from the little things, and watch how that builds into bigger and bigger and bigger things. Not only just in friends and friendship, but also in your life. So the other day, So now we see that God designed for friendship. We have instructions on how to be friends through love, loyalty, and honesty. So what can friendships do for others and for us on your daily lives? The other day I was driving and I saw some Canadian geese. Fortunately, they were not on the golf course. They were getting there, though. And so I'm watching them, excuse me. And there is, I'm going to estimate about 19 of them flying in this gorgeous V formation. And for those of you who know anything about Canadian geese, they have to line up like that so they can travel great distances. It makes it easier on them. They're carrying the burden for the people behind them, and they take turns on who's in front to keep up their strength. So I'm watching this. I'm driving, I should have been paying attention to the road. And I look back, and there's one. And I don't know what they were doing, but they weren't close. And he's by himself, and he's trying so hard to catch up with the group. And, well, he didn't catch up by the time I finished watching him. And he was struggling. It was a very windy day, and those geese were flying, and he's just far, far behind him. And I said, he needs a friend. Even if there was two of them, it would have helped to catch up to the rest of people, or the rest of the geese. They weren't people. So friendship is important because it strengthens you. It gives you the ability. Earlier, I read the scripture that said two is better than one. Okay? It strengthens us to have more than one person. And in Proverbs 27:17, God shows us how friends help us grow spiritually. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Another reason we need friends. Now, if one of your friends is, you know, not sharpening you, you know, you need to find more friends so that you can be sharp. I didn't say lose that other friend. Keep them. Keep them. But you need to find friends within the Christ body so that you can sharpen each other. Now, I don't have a sword or, you know, or knives, but I do know that that's how they sharpen swords. They use iron or stone or whatever to sharpen it. I'm going to show my faith to you. You're going to show your faith to me. I'm going to throw things at you. You're going to tell me back, and man, my faith is going to grow stronger. I'm going to pray for you. You're going to pray for me. That's the way God designed this life to be. Hebrews 10:24 and 25 say, encourage one another toward love and good works. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The day of the return of the Lord is what they're talking about here. I love the fact that we have this going out to broadcast to those who can't be here today. Those who are ill, can't make it in. You know, my buddy Bob. Bob, glad to hear everything went well, bud. And he can't be here today because he's recovering. So I love the fact that he doesn't have to miss church. Okay? But there is something special about being here. The Bible gives us instruction to don't give up meeting with each other. Okay? That's purpose in our lives, to be there for each other. You build friendships, you build strength. My faith grows. Show up if you can. If you can't, sure, watch us online. Fantastic. If you can't, call us and we'll come to you if you need that personal touch. We're here for you as a church body. I don't mean just me. I don't mean just Pastor Christine and Pastor Mike. I mean as a church body. We have a lot of people who go out and visit people who can't make it to church. If you need something, call us. We'll be there. The Bible also gives us an example of friendship between David and Jonathan. In 1 Samuel 18:1 through 4, it says, "After David finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself." That is friendship. When you talk about friends in the Bible, the first person I always go to is that friendship. And it says, he loved him as himself. That's what friends need to get to. And I got to say, all my friends are not like that. I don't have that relationship. Sorry, Craig. No, I'm just kidding. Do I love all my friends as I love myself? Probably not, and that's on me. Okay, there are some, obviously, that I do, but that willingness to sacrifice me for them is part, a true part of friendship. I'm going to give to them before I give to myself. I'm going to deny myself to give to others. That's God's love showing in friendship. So that whole thing to say, true friends don't just support your comfort, guys. They sharpen your character. Okay? They sharpen your faith. They're there for the small things. But you got to be careful with friends, guys. Because not all friendships lead us closer to God. 1 Corinthians 15:13 says, "Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character." If part of your outreach is to befriend those who aren't living for God, you better be prayed up. You better be on your toes. Because if not, it's going to corrupt you. Because it's not easy being a Christian every day. Not in this world. Probably not. You know, I say not in this world today. They were saying the same thing back then. My parents said the same thing back then. The world's getting crazy. You know, there's no God in this world anymore. Well, I beg to differ. There's God in this world. It may not be as, you know, he may not be recognized as much as he used to be, but he's still him. He's not going anywhere. So be prayed up if you're going to go after those people who aren't. Because you do not want to get corrupted. Psalm 1:1, here's a good psalm though. "Blessed is the one who does not walk in ungodly counsel." Now, I didn't say ungodly people in there. It says ungodly counsel. It doesn't say the ungodly. It says, you know, how are you going to bring your friends to Christ if you aren't friends with them in the first place? But it says don't lean on their counsel. I could be friends with them, but I'm going to test any advice they say against the Word of God. So for years, when I was much younger, I played basketball at the YMCA, and I became friends with many of the players. You meet with people 3 days a week in the mornings, and you have something to bond over, which is the basketball, and how terrible I was on one day, and the next day I was less terrible. It was never good, but I had fun. But the best part about that was experiencing things together, but reacting differently to the same event. So you're in there with people, your friends, and something happens. How do they react? How do they react? How do I react? And when I would react not poorly, that's how I showed God's love to them. And hopefully that led to them saying, why did you react that way? What's different about you? What's different about somebody who follows Christ? That led to some great conversations after basketball. And who knows what that's going to lead to? I won't know the results of any of those conversations probably until I get to heaven and see who else is there. And it might not have been my conversation in the first place. I just might have been watering the seed that somebody else planted. Or I might have been throwing the seed so somebody else can water it. I don't know. And that's the key. You don't know. And so be at your best. Be at your best at all times, no matter what happens. And I don't mean act the best or whatever. Be at your best within Jesus. We have Jesus in our lives. We have something that's the best in our lives. And yet half the time we're walking around like this. Wait, Rhonda, what's my face that I do? That's usually it. I have a resting grimace. I'm sorry, I do. How many people am I going to attract to Christ and to say, oh, there is something different about him if I'm grumpy all the time? Probably just another grumpy person who says, oh, I get that guy. Well, maybe. But if I'm not smiling, if I'm not full of joy, no matter what the situation, because situations are terrible most of the time, but how do I react to that? How do I show that I have Jesus in my life to those people so that I can take this simple friendship into a deeper friendship, into a friendship where they are accepting Christ, and now they have even a better friendship. We get the best gift. It should show on our face. All right. So I guess the thing to say there is wisdom isn't avoiding people. It's discerning influence. And I'm going to say that again. It's not avoiding people. It's discerning influence. I can be with people, but I'm not going to let those people influence me in a negative way. Okay? Now, who's the perfect friend, of course? Jesus, right? Thank you. Thanks for that participation. Perfect friend. Because he is concerned with the small things. He does show up in love. He does show up for me everywhere, every time, every situation, no matter what. The great thing about this is Jesus is out there for everybody, for those same situations. They just don't realize it yet. It's our job to help them realize that. So in John 15, 12 through 15, Jesus says this. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Wow. Jesus calls me friend. That's why that song said Fred. He calls us friends, and he says, you're my friends if you obey me. He loves us even if we don't, but we're friends. We get to be friends with the creator of the universe. And not just us. Everybody can. Romans 5:8 says, Christ loved us while we were still sinners. So he's still loving us. He's opening up that friendship door to us. That's what we need to show. People who we don't know. People who are mad at us for some reason. Show them friendship. Show them love. And see what happens. Now, I love this story in Matthew. Because here comes Jesus, and he's doing his thing like normal. Okay? And they start giving him a hard time. And Matthew 11, 18, 19 says, for John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. But the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they, the same people, say, here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is proved right by her deeds. I boil that down to, you can't win no matter what number you play. My mom and dad used to say that all the time. So you can't please a lot of people, guys. You're going to go up there and do something, and people are not going to accept you, okay, as friends. It happened to Jesus. So John comes in. He doesn't do this, and they say, oh, my gosh, he's got a demon. Jesus comes in and does this, sits down and eats with sinners and tax collectors and stuff like that, and shows them love, and they say, oh, he's a glutton and a drunkard and a friend of sinners. So I think that is so funny. But at the end, he says, but wisdom is proved right by her deeds. The British would say that truth will out. It's a British idiom meaning that the truth will inevitably be discovered, exposed, or revealed, regardless of attempts to hide it. So my advice to you, guys, is just keep trying. Having a problem with somebody? Just keep trying. Somebody doesn't want to hear your advice when they ask you for it, just keep trying. So, you know, we've all heard of fast friends, or we were friends the moment we met. And, you know, it's true a lot. Sometimes you have an immediate connection with somebody, right? But true friendship is something we need to practice. It takes a while. Friendship is a journey, and it takes time, and it's not always perfect, but the Bible gives us some key tips on how to be friends. First, they told us how to be a friend. Now he's going to continue through the journey of friendship, how to create a friend, and then how to be a long-term friend. And just a few scriptures in the Bible is Luke 6:31. Thank you. Says, do to others as you would have them do to you. I'm going to stop on this one for a second because this just happened this week at work. And Timmy, I hope you're watching, but I don't think you will be. But if you are, this is for you. I got a friend up there. His name's Tim. That's why we were instant friends, because we shared a name. And another person asked him, he's having troubles with his sister, and it's a long situation. But he said, I just want her to leave me alone. And this other Christian person says, that's the wrong attitude. What do you think, Tim? And I said, well, tell me the situation. And he did. And he says, I know it says do unto others as you would have them do to you. I want her to leave me alone too. I'm going to leave her alone. She can leave me alone. And I just said, I don't think you're quite getting it, buddy. I don't think you're getting it. And then he says, well, that's what it says. I said, I think the spirit behind that is to open up doors and create friendships, not destroy them. And he says, your idea is to make people happy and joyful through this. He says, I will be happy if she leaves me alone. I said, all right, Tim, I'm done with you. He was poking fun, but, you know, do unto others as you would have them do to you. True statement, you know, you can't argue with that. That's how you be a friend and get friends back. Philippians 2, 3, and 4 is another example of this. It says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the other. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Putting other people first. I've been harping on that since the beginning. And it just gives you another scripture for it. And then Colossians 3, 12 through 14 says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. I got four closing challenges, and they're going pretty quickly. And I had this one set last, and now, you know what? I'm not waiting anymore. Because last night, I thought I was done with the sermon. I read through it. I closed it yesterday morning, about 10 o'clock. And then about 10 o'clock p.m., laying in bed, and I just go, and I wake up. I said, I forgot something. The Lord just reminded me, kind of knocked me upside the head, said, Tim, you going to go to bed right now, or are you going to get up? I went to bed, but I did take notes, and I set an alarm on my alarm clock to remember these notes. And it goes with that scripture. Guys, do you have a friend or a former friend that you need to reach out to? No matter what the circumstance of you not being friends anymore, it could have been something I did wrong. It could have been something they did wrong. Reconciliation. That's the word that popped in my mind last night. Reconciliation. Guys, life is short. Life is short. You need friends in your life. We've established that. If you've wronged a friend, reach out to them. Get a hold of them. Apologize. Ask their forgiveness. Reestablish that relationship. If they've done something wrong, reach out to them. Apologize. Ask forgiveness. Even if they were the ones who you think they wronged you, it doesn't matter. Where would we be without reconciliation? How many times have I failed as a friend to God? More than I care to remember. And every single time, God is faithful and reconciles with me. And we're friends again. My challenge to you this week is find that friend. That former friend, as you might call them, or a guy used to be friends. And it could be nothing. It could be they moved and they're terrible long-distance friends. That's okay. Reach out to them. You be the one to take the step. Well, they haven't called me in 6 months. I don't care. Call them again. Talk with them. Love on them. Show God's love to them. And ask yourself these questions. Am I being the kind of friend Scripture describes? I know I skipped one there. I don't care. Am I being the kind of friend Scripture describes? Above, what's it say? Do you want to read here? It says, And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds us all in perfect unity. Be the one to reach out to them and see if, and ask yourself, am I being the kind of friend that Scripture describes? Are my friendships drawing me closer to Christ? And are my friendships drawing others closer to Christ? Again, different levels of friends. What are you doing to draw your friends closer to God? And if you're both good Christians, what are you doing to sharpen each other's faithfulness? And lastly, how can I reflect Christ's love more faithfully in my relationships? How can I do it? Obviously, we're going to have to invest time in our friends, yes? Okay? And if it means going to bed a half hour later because you're jumping on a phone call to reach out to them, do it. If it means skipping lunch with your normal group of friends and going and having lunch with somebody else, do it. Walk around with that joy on your face this week, folks. Find a new friend out there. Find a new friend. Reconcile any old ones and find a new one. You'll find something in common. It might be, you know, you're both at Taco Bell. Man, I wish they'd bring back the caramel apple empanadas, don't you? Oh, yeah. There you go. We got a connection. We start talking. And by the way, that is a true story. I wish they'd come back with those again. And when you guys need a friend and there's nobody to talk to, remember, Proverbs 18:24 says, there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Amen? If you guys know him, you know it's true. If you don't know him, I would like to pray with you guys right now and just say, get to know him. Because that's going to make all the difference in your life. You're never going to feel lonely. You're always going to have that friend, even if everybody's phone's busy and it all went to voicemail. You're going to have the friend because Jesus does not have voicemail. All right? Hey, guys, let's stand in prayer. We're going to pray real quick, and then I'm going to dismiss you. A little bit different. We don't have the music playing today. Pastor Christine, we said, get out of here. You're making everybody sick. But I hope today that you were maybe given a little bit of knowledge about what the Bible says in friendship, and I hope you were challenged to go do those things, to become a better friend to your current friends, to make a new friend, and remember that Jesus is a friend who sticks closer than any brother. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for letting us be here today with our friends to learn more about you, Lord. I challenge each one of us to go out and make a new friend today, this week, Lord. And, you know, if they don't have a church, they bring them to church or talk to them about Jesus. Doesn't matter. Lord, I just know that you are out there and you want us to have friends. That's the way you designed us. And Lord, we want to be with you ultimately. And the way to do that is to be your friend by following your commands according to the word. So Lord, I just ask blessings on this entire congregation and those who are watching, Lord. I ask blessings for health and safety and friendship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much, everybody. We'll see you next week.